we love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday night's main event.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
We're only a week into 2022, and it's a whole new world, an incredibly busy week in the world of professional wrestling. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar give WWE two monster champions. In AEW, Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara are now both the TNT champion. This year's Women's Royal Rumble will have two women's champions competing in it, one from a different company. And with another huge wave of releases and injuries, the question is, who's left to be a new champion? Hi, I'm Mike McGuire, and welcome to Canada's wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. We are airing across Canada on the iHeartRadio Talk Network, TSN Radio, and online at snmeradio.com. If you just can't get enough wrestling radio, though, Sunday Night's Main Event also has our own podcast network, which you can subscribe to for as little as just over a buck a week, and you get extended episodes of this show, recaps of all the big shows, Jason Agnew's trivia, Dan Lavransky with Dr. Mouth's Lunch Party, and a bunch more. You can sign up now and join the family at patreon.com/snmeradio. Coming up, it's the inside scoop on some of the biggest stories in pro wrestling this week from The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer. Plus, SNME Network host Boris Aguilar joins me with some of your thoughts on this week's stories. But first, it's this week's Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Going into Saturday night, a lot of the eyes were going to be on AEW's Battle of the Belts, but a lot of the chatter coming out of Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill pay-per-view, we knew there was going to be a Ring of Honor title match as John Gresham defended and retained against Chris Sabin. What we didn't expect to have happen was after the hardcore battle, we would see more ROH stars in Matt Taven, Vincent, PCO, Mike Bennett, Maria Kanellis, and then during the women's title match in the main event, ROH Women's Champion Roxy was also in attendance. Looks like there's going to be a lot more hybrid work between these two promotions as time goes on. Speaking of Impact, we want to congratulate Tom Hannifin, formerly Tom Phillips in WWE. He is the new play-by-play announcer for Impact Wrestling. He made his debut last night at Hard to Kill. Dude sounded tight, too. He was killing it on that show. Hannifin is the official replacement for Matt Stryker, who is no longer with the company. We still haven't heard an official word from Toni Storm about why she left, and who knows if we're going to. There was a quote going around on a meme where Toni Storm seemingly tore into Charlotte Flair, but that was quickly debunked as fake. If you missed the story, the only report is that Toni Storm left after being burned out, but nothing officially has come from Toni herself. And a lot of people are wondering if Tommaso Ciampa and Pete Dunne are heading to the main roster in WWE. Ciampa recently dropped the NXT title to Bron Breakker, and Pete Dunne is going to be facing Tony D'Angelo in a Crowbar on a Pole match, which could be a great way to write him off one show and make him ready for the main roster. Ciampa and Dunne did have a match against each other before SmackDown aired last week, so it'll be interesting to see if those guys end up on the big show. And in what was one of the busiest weeks in pro wrestling, it was also one of the injury-heaviest weeks everywhere across the board. Wrestlers were getting hurt. Former NXT star Jake Atlas jammed his knee in his Rampage debut against Adam Cole in AEW. Rey Fénix taking some time off after landing on his arm awkwardly and dislocating it on Dynamite in that match against Jurassic Express. Carmella is reportedly working through an injury, which is why she was on TV but not in the ring this past Monday with Queen Zelina. WWE released that Sasha Banks is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a foot injury that happened at a house show last weekend. And in New Japan, Jeff Cobb ended up blowing his knee, and Kenta is recovering after smashing his face on a garbage can after falling into it from a 15-foot-high ladder at Wrestle Kingdom last week. That is your Five Count for Sunday, January 9th, 2022. I'm Mike McGuire. This is Sunday night's main event, where coming up next, we'll have Dave Meltzer on the show taking us through some of these headlines. How good is it to be Brock Lesnar right now? And is WWE tipping its hand as to who's going to be their first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame for 2022? Plus, Boris Aguilar from the SNME Radio Network joins me as we go through this insane week of wrestling. Over 30 hours or so broadcast from all over the world. We'll take you through it all right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus.
Grr.
Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you want to go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Well, this is my first time sitting down with him one-on-one, but you've known him for years. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter is here. WrestlingObserver.com is where you can find all his latest. And Dave, a nice, quiet, not much going on week in the world of wrestling.
Yeah, this was a pretty busy week the last couple of days. It's crazy because schedule-wise, I thought it was really going to get intense at the end of the month, you know, with Royal Rumble and everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I did think, you know, the first Battle of the Belts was going to be something, but it wasn't going to be that big. But the WWE firings, you know, that was a pretty big story this week.
Yeah, let's start there. NXT seemed to bear the brunt of these releases this time. So with seemingly William Regal, a bunch of producers and trainers gone now, the big question is who's left running things for NXT? Who's really running the game there now?
And Sean's still there. So, and the thing with Sean is because of who he is, I think he's pretty much immune to being fired.
Right.
Even though he's Triple H's buddy and he was brought in by Triple H and everything like that. And it's the Triple H guys that are getting nailed. But, you know, I can't see them. I mean, I don't want to say, cause I could, if you had asked me a week ago and said that they're going to nail all Triple H's guys, and I wouldn't have been surprised at all hearing that. I would still, you know, like Samoa Joe wouldn't have surprised me, you know, the whole list. Right. But Regal surprised me a lot. And, you know, the more I've written about it and the more I've thought about it, it's like that's, you know, it's almost like a, I don't want to call it a spiteful thing, but it's like, you know, you've seen the reaction across the board. Yeah. A lot of the people who were fired, you're not seeing people going like, oh, my God, so terrible. But with Regal, you are. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And that's why when I kind of look back, it's like, that really sent a message. It sent a message to me, to everyone working in that company, that from a factor, like there's no loyalty in that company, you know, unless you're someone very, very close to Vince. And you know, you get too close to Vince, sometimes he just gets mad and fires you too. But it's tough working in that environment when the company's making record profits and they're laying off people. And it's one thing to lay off people who have been there for 6 months, you know, like George Carroll, you know, is been there for just a little while and all that, and he's new and all that. But Regal's been there for, you know, 22 years with the company, and he was one of the guys, you know, him and Paul Levesque are the guys who built NXT. And, you know, he was a great television character. Before that, he was a great announcer. And to take him off completely, like, I mean, they didn't want to, you know, continue the character on television. You know, that decision was made a while ago, but still, I didn't think that was the beginning of his demise with the company. And it was, obviously.
I think when War Games was announced without Regal saying War Games in his patented way, kind of gave a sign to a lot of fans that he's not going to be coming back. You did mention Joe, a lot of people kind of shocked by this again, but it was known that Triple H signed him after he was released from the main roster. The Joe injury angle after he beats Karrion Kross for the title, was this a legitimate injury? Do we know for sure? Or was this just a reason to write him off the show and get him off a 2.0?
I mean, I think the injury itself was legit, but I think that the idea, like normally in that situation, if the guy's hurt, you know, you just kind of, you know, wait a couple of weeks, you know, when he's better and you have him drop the title in the ring. The fact that they rushed to take it off to me was also a sign he's done on television. So that's why his firing didn't surprise me, you know, because, you know, again, I mean, he was not primarily hired to be a wrestler. Wrestler was very secondary. The TV character was certainly part of it, but it was also scouting and behind the scenes and things like that. So he did have other duties there, even when the decision was made to take him off television. But I was, because of, the idea that a lot of guys were getting laid off when Road Dogg got laid off, which was the first name that I heard, right? Early in the day. I immediately, when I started thinking of people, I started thinking of, oh my God, I know so many people there and, you know, things like that. And it's not going to be good, but I did think that Joe would be one of them. I wasn't sure, but so he didn't surprise me. Regal, when I heard Regal, it was like, whoa, I just thought that that's too many years with the company and he's so well respected by everyone. And he's got a level of wrestling knowledge that, and experiences in wrestling that very few have, and open-mindedness about, you know, he knows the past so well, but he's not one of those guys who goes up to the current wrestlers and go like, you know, he may give them advice and it's good advice, but he's not going to say, stop doing what you're doing. This isn't wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the old timers would do. He's very valuable, especially because the in-ring of wrestling has changed so much and he's up to speed with it. I mean, you look at what NXT was doing with the Garganos and Ciampa and, you know, the different guys that were on top and the match quality. And he was one of the key guys with that. And, you know, they blended, or they, the attempt obviously was to blend the psychology of the past and teaching people not to do too much while at the same time accepting the style has changed, kind of melding it. And you need veterans there for that.
Yeah, Regal was that great gap between those two eras. Something very interesting, of course, happened with day one, and that being the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match not happening. So the question now, with Brock appearing on Raw and SmackDown, do you know if this has been a modification made to his deal? Like, are we going to constantly see him on both shows up to Rumble? Does that increase the odds of somebody taking the title off him before Mania? Or does this mean we might even have something like a title unification? Because they kind of threw that little bone out on Friday as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know a week ago, title unification belt for belt was not part of the plan. The plan was to have one belt defended on Saturday and one belt defended on Sunday and not by the same person. So, look, Vince may come up and go, oh, people are talking about title unification, let's do it. You know, they could change that plan. But when everything went down last week and they had to change everything, that was very much not the idea of title unification. I do not know as a fact that Brock was beating Roman, but I absolutely expected it because of the way the story was going. I do know that Seth was going to win the four-way. So the fact that they're putting Seth and Roman and Brock's got a belt, it may just be course correction. And it's a way to get the belt back to Raw by putting it on Seth, because Seth and Roman, you know, kind of makes no sense in a lot of ways.
Right.
But Seth was supposed to get the WWE championship. So now Seth's going to get the Universal. So it's kind of like Universal and WWE title, you know, going into Mania flip flopped, and each brand will still have one. If they do a fluke thing where Seth wins, and Seth is not beating Roman in any way, but by fluke. But that I consider that a possibility, or they may take it from Brock, or Vince may, he may go with the unification, but I know the unification wasn't the plan, and the plan was to get back to where the original plan was, which would indicate Seth and Brock having belts, you know, going into Mania. But, you know, like, look, Vince changes his mind every Monday. All through any day, every day. What am I saying? Monday.
So on that note, then, does this mean the Universal Championship and Seth stay on SmackDown? Because I know that Fox wanted Brock on SmackDown.
No. I think that the Universal belt would move to Raw.
Okay.
And Seth would go back to Raw, and they're just doing this match to do that. And then the WWE title, but Brock would do both, you know, both shows, because Brock's good for ratings and they have a certain number of dates under contract for him. And maybe they feel, you know, like Brock, because like the rating on Monday was very strong. And I think they knew that that would be the case. And the ratings on Friday have gotten stronger since Brock was on the show, not every show, but, you know, more than not. So I think that they want as many dates as they can get on Brock, but I don't think he's going to be on both brands, you know, after the Royal Rumble.
It's a good time to be Brock Lesnar either way.
It's always a good time financially to be Brock Lesnar.
Someone else who probably a week ago, we didn't think would be in this much chatter as she is. But Mickie James, the Impact Knockouts World Champion, appearing in the WWE Royal Rumble. Obviously, there's an Impact WWE deal here somewhere.
Obviously, yes. They had to agree to it.
Clearly, it's been a one-off, I think, is the common consensus here. Or have you heard otherwise? Is there any more working relationship plan between WWE and Impact?
That's all I know of would be the one thing. But it is interesting that it happened. I think it's kind of, from the WWE standpoint, it kills like two birds, number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, for, you know, they had to get 30 women for the Royal Rumble. And, you know, they want names that people know. I mean, they don't want to bring in somebody that has no WWE experience. And so many of the women from the past, you know, have moved on or, you know, just don't, you know, whatever, or they just feel maybe that they're too old, whatever the feeling is. So Mickie James fits, she's in good shape. She's still wrestling. So she's fine. And it's kind of like, do we, you know, I mean, what's Impact going to do? And for Impact, it's a win. I mean, it really is. I mean, old school, you would say don't cooperate with WWE. But Impact is it's at a low level. I mean, the fact that their champion is going to get talked about on SmackDown or on Raw, perhaps too, for the next couple of weeks is good. It's, you know, a reason to keep the title on her, honestly. You know,
it actually made me a lot more interested in watching Hard to Kill last night than I thought I would be, because I wanted to see if she was going to retain or not. So,
and she
did. That brought eyes on there. Exactly. Is this an olive branch, you think, after the whole trash bag thing last year, where she talked about how when she was let go, she just got all her stuff in garbage bags and the Chelsea Green story came out. Is this, you think, an olive branch from WWE? And some people are saying this could even be a bridge to putting Mickie into the Hall of Fame this year. Do you think it goes that far?
You know, Hall of Fame's Hall of Fame. I mean, they always have to have a woman, and it's hard. You know, I mean, it's not like they churn out a new Hall of Fame level woman on an annual basis. So Mickie James, absolutely, by the standards of their Hall of Fame, could do it. So, yeah, I mean, they could do that. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And perhaps that's part of it. And for her to go in, they have to work with Impact because she's got to deal with Impact. I think actually, I'm not sure that she's got the full deal with Impact because she was still working for NWA too. But then I don't know the situation of her exact contract because she came into Impact and, you know, she wasn't full time with Impact until she won the title. So I don't know how that all works contractually. But the fact that they're mentioning Impact Wrestling and her championship, that WWE is doing that, that's probably concession to get her. I don't think that that's something they would love to do, but obviously, you know, it was part of it. And you know, when you talk about the trash bag thing, they do like, you know, Vince really likes when people say bad things about him to at some point bring them back and show that, hey, you know, they're how mad are they really at me? You know, they're, you know, they came back. It's very important to Vince in these situations. It's like, you know, when Brett, you know, year after year after year, Brett, please come back, you know, come back. And finally he did. And it was very important to them. You know, every year at WrestleMania is like, come back and be a referee, you know, and Brett said the worst things about them.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, people were going like, he's never going to go back. And I go, I don't know if he will go back, but I promise you that they will ask for him to come back every year because that's what they do.
That's amazing. Shifting gears to talking about building female stars, Jade Cargill, the first ever TBS champion. Was this always the plan?
Yes, it was always the plan. That was the plan when the tournament started. Swole actually sort of leaked it, you know, which was an interesting thing. I mean, people didn't really notice it. And I saw it and I just thought, oh, she thinks that Jade's winning. But actually, she knew that Jade was winning. And I think there was a frustration there because she's more experienced than Jade and Jade got the spot. But yes, when this tournament started, Jade Cargill was earmarked to be the winner. When I saw the bracketing, I thought she was earmarked for the finals. And, you know, I wanted to see Rosa or Ruby Soho win, but that was not in the cards. And obviously, you know, I think there's the feeling that she's got a lot of presence. She gets over big with live crowds and, you know, she's very green in the ring, but, you know, she's also only had 23 matches in her whole career. By putting the title on her, you inherently make it so the spotlight is on her. And so her flaws in the ring and her inexperience is going to be much brighter than doing 2 and 3 minute TV matches. but she is marketable too. And that, obviously they think that they've got a big star in the future in her.
You know, it also becomes the effect of who's going to beat her. You know, we want to see her beaten. So who's going to be the one to take it? And boy, are we going to cheer for them.
Yeah.
Last but not least here, this was kind of bandied about. Ric Flair had mentioned on his podcast, there were words going around a while ago about Hulk Hogan and maybe facing some health issues. Jimmy Hart had something to say about it recently. Have you heard anything lately about Hogan and his health? Like, is he doing all right?
Well, I mean, it's just physical, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, he's had all kinds of injuries, and I couldn't tell you as far as anything recent, but I know I've seen stuff and heard from people that he wasn't moving very well. And I'm at this stage of the game, late 60s, with all those back surgeries, I wouldn't expect him to be moving well. So, as far as health, like, you know, what I would consider health, you know, like heart issues or things, I never heard a word about anything like that. I don't think there's anything like that, but yeah, I mean, his knees and his back and everything from just all the years in wrestling. Yeah. It's, you know, the last I heard, he wasn't moving good. So I'll just say that.
All right, there you have it. We're going to touch on a bunch of stuff next week as well, because, I mean, there was so much that happened this week, but we are going to go more into the ROH and Impact relationship and a bunch more. But this is all the time we have for this week. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, thank you very much, sir.
Okay, have a great week.
There's still a lot more Sunday night's main event to come, including sitting down with SNME Radio's Boris Aguilar. He'll take you through some of the week on the SNME Radio social media. What are the biggest stories that matter to you? Is it the NXT layoffs? Is it all the championships? Is it all the injuries? We've got a lot to sit down and discuss, so don't you go anywhere. More Sunday night's main event coming up.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
For the first time in more than a decade, WWE Monday Night Raw returns to Edmonton, September 26th, 2022.
You want to fight? You got it!
You'll see WWE Champion Big E, Raw Tag Team Champions Randy Orton and Riddle,
RK-Bro,
Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch, and more. Great seats are available now, and tickets start at $20 at Ticketmaster.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they says, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event, broadcasting across Canada on TSN Radio and the iHeart Talk Network. I'm Mike McGuire, and joining me for this part of the show, you hear him all over the SNME Radio Podcast Network. He never leaves his studio, it seems. He's always got wrestling in front of him. And after, what was it, 30 hours of wrestling you watched this week, Boris?
Yes, 30 hours and counting.
Boris Aguilar from such shows as Bam, Boris, and Matt. What else do you have? You have NXT Talk. You have your own It's Canon podcast. You're a busy dude.
I am a busy dude. And now we're doing this. So, yeah, it's just adding to the list. But, you know, it's a passion of mine. I do love talk and I do love watching wrestling. So talk and wrestling is kind of like up my wheelhouse.
Of course, we invite you to be a part of the conversation as well. You can follow SNME Radio on social media. Facebook is where we still do a lot of our chatter because we're wrestling fans, and why change formats now? But let's start off with one of the biggest stories that became even bigger for so many reasons, and that is this year's Royal Rumble. We have two main events we were not expecting to see going into. We found out from Dave Meltzer earlier on that the plan was for Seth Rollins to be the winner of the four-way. So maybe this is a way of getting titles switched around. We don't know for sure, but you got Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns with the possibility of the red strap Universal Championship returning. And now Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, what many are saying has been a dream match for years, is happening for the first time round at the Rumble. What are your thoughts going into these main events?
Man, it's you know what? I got to say, if anything, number one thing people complain about with WWE is fresh matches. Now, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins isn't fresh per se, but it is a fresh coat of paint in this ongoing rivalry that they've had spanning their days of, you know, the breakup of the Shield. So I'm kind of excited to see that, especially because, you know, you have this inter-brand thing going on. You know, clearly, it's more than just that Survivor Series when this inter-brand stuff happens. But, you know, just being positive about this new year, new Boris, new positivity. You know, I'm actually really looking forward to this. I think that those two are going to give an awesome, awesome performance leading up to the match. You know, Roman Reigns has been just the top guy on the mic for a while. Seth Rollins, he gets under people's nerves, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm still not sure. So I'm really looking forward to that match. And then on the other side, you have Brock Lesnar and Lashley. This has been a dream match for years. You know, for 4 years since Lashley has come back, this is the match that people have wanted. And honestly, people have wanted this match for a lot longer than just 4 years since Lashley was still in Impact. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley is a match that people have wanted, and we're finally getting it.
We wanted an MMA. Don't fool yourself for a second. When they were both MMA fighting, that was, I think, the real dream match here. But I think this is a great equivalent, considering both guys aren't really in the prime MMA fighting condition these days, but they're still in pretty great pro wrestling condition. Okay, so that takes care of the men's main event. The men's Rumble match, they're kind of adding participants one by one. We had 19 names announced for the Women's Rumble this past Friday on SmackDown. Six of those names were legends, technically seven, but one of them no longer works for WWE, and that is Mickie James, who all of a sudden drew a lot of eyes and chatter to Impact Wrestling this past weekend because she went into their pay-per-view as the champion just last night and retained that title. So this is, I think, the first time ever that a women's champion or a champion of any company is coming into a Rumble, either men's or women's, as champion and being touted as that champion on a WWE card. What does this tell you as a fan about WWE and their relationship with Mickie James?
Right. Number one, never say never. This is the number one thing we always have to say in wrestling, right? Never say never. Back in April when she was released and, you know, garbage bag scandal and garbage bag gate happened, you know, people thought that was it. She would never come back, etc. The way she even spoke out in public about WWE, you just figure that the relationship was over, but clearly that is not the case. Never say never. Mickie James is back. And I see a lot of people talking about this forbidden door being open. While I do think that there is a possibility now for a working relationship with Impact, they've done certain projects together, right? They've shared tapes. They've, you know, done some stuff back and forth in the past for the network. Now we're seeing, you know, an on-screen character coming. And I think it's more Pat McAfee who wanted to say that Mickie James was the Impact Knockouts champion, because if WWE really wanted to tout this, I feel like they would have on the graphic, but it's out there now.
But they did on their social media, though. They have acknowledged her as a company. So I think that McAfee saying it was part of the plan, because I don't think that he would have said that otherwise. I'm sure there was some specific direction given there, because they're just too careful with stuff like that.
Right. And here's the thing. I guess what I'm trying to get to is the fact that I think this is a more of an experiment. This is a forbidden door for Mickie James as a legend, as a Divas legend, as a female wrestling legend. You know, she'll be able to come back. And this is kind of like the experiment to see if you know, bringing other people for these one-offs will work. You know, now, you know, I'm wearing my conspiracy hat just a little bit. And, you know, we have to kind of think about the bigger picture. With so many releases, with a thin roster, will WWE be bringing people in these one-off roles, you know, from other companies to kind of fill roster spaces for these big events like a Royal Rumble, like a WrestleMania, like a SummerSlam? I kind of think that this is the experiment to see if this is going to work, whether they can move the needle by bringing in these special, you know, these special appearances by legends and people and wrestlers and performers that we want to see.
Between the main roster, the women's roster on NXT and NXT UK, they have a total of 54 women now. So, I mean, they do have the prerequisite 30, but they are relying on a lot of past names. We'll see if they can actually, you know, make some of their biggest names possible. I think Mickie James probably ends up in the final four of this Rumble, but we all know Charlotte's going to win. So, I mean, I don't see how you have Charlotte lose when she's going in as a champion. And it does make it more interesting who she's going to pick as her opponent. But we'll see. Who knows? Who knows? But I think Mickie should be in the final four there for sure. Rumble itself, do you have a standout for a winner for the men's side?
Oh, man. Johnny Knoxville, 100%. Like, come on. 100%.
Let's touch on this for those that are just tuning in and wondering what the heck are they talking about. Johnny Knoxville from Jackass now qualified to be in the Royal Rumble. What does it take to qualify for the Royal Rumble? Apparently, you just have to be invited backstage, get in an argument with somebody, and then after they win or lose their match and they're beaking their opponent outside the ring, you just flip them over the top rope, and that's what it takes to qualify for the Royal Rumble. This sends a great message to any fans out there that think, hey, you know what? Jumping the rail isn't a good thing, right? I probably shouldn't go in there and try and throw a wrestler over the top rope. But now, if you're famous enough, it can get you in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, the optics of that one is funny, considering what just happened to Seth Rollins a few months ago, right? It's crazy to think. But here's the reality. I think that either Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, after they lose their belt, they will come in. They're going to take someone out, most likely Johnny Knoxville, and win the Rumble.
I like how you think Johnny Knoxville is going to last that long. that's great.
I meant take him out like during his entrance.
What number does he come in? What number does he come in?
He better come in like, you know, good old number 15. Get the anticipation going, especially, like I say, depending on the match order, right? If the Rumble should be last, should be the main event. So that means Reigns and or Lesnar could have lost their belt. It just leaves the possibilities open for them to take someone out during their entrance, come into the Rumble. We've seen this before. So, you know, why don't we do it again?
I guess whichever title match is first, we find out who the loser of that is, and that's going to be who runs in for the Rumble itself. Okay, well, that's fair enough. Again, the Royal Rumble becoming more and more interesting this year. Did Mickie being in the Rumble, though, actually make you more interested in what Impact did last night?
You know, I got to say, just a little bit, right? There was a little interest. There was that little seed planted, like, hey, you should watch the pay-per-view Hard to Kill and see if she's going to come into the Royal Rumble as champ. You know, and Impact, I got to say, they had a great show last night from top to bottom. Not everything was perfect. Production had issues, but you know, from bell to bell, match to match, everything just worked for Impact. You know, their issues typically haven't been pay-per-views. It's been, it's just keeping wrestlers number one and politics and all that stuff. But, like, their pay-per-views typically have always been good. But, you know, it's kind of keeping that momentum and moving that momentum forward to TV, you know, until their next pay-per-view. That's where they kind of fail. But last night they had a great show, and I was a little more interested to watch the show because of the whole Mickie James stuff, and especially that Knockouts women's belt. And it was awesome to see Roxy there as well, representing Ring of Honor. So it was just it was a good showing. It kind of shows the world of professional wrestling here in North America.
All right, well, there you have it. Coming up, how are you feeling about all this wrestling? 30 hours, as Boris said this week. He's been watching. How are you prioritizing? What's the biggest thing in your world? Boris is going to check in with some of the feedback and interim champions in pro wrestling. Is this a good thing or not? That and a lot more coming up right here on Sunday Night's Main Event. How about the time I've been saying that I'm fine and I keep it inside?
I'm in the arsenal, and I'm with Waller here. Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more.
We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio.
Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial, and it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
I'm Dan the Mouth Loransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old fucks, tough guy.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Mike McGuire here with Boris Aguilar. SNMEradio.com is where you can find Boris and all the other podcasts that follow up with the show, plus usually extended versions of this show, bonus content. You never know what's going to show up. But Jason Agnew will be there on Tuesday morning, cooked with the midweek markout and a bunch more. But right now it's Boris and I taking a look at this crazy week of wrestling. You and I both, as well as a lot of people listening to this show, likely big fans of wrestling. We'll take wrestling anywhere we can get it, but 30 hours in one week. Like that's more than some people are working right now.
I know, man. Luckily, you know, I have a day job where I can do this, and it gives me the opportunity to watch something to kind of take in content as I'm working. So I'm very thankful for that. But 30 hours was crazy, and I knew it was a crazy week, and that's why I did the math yesterday. But, you know, the beginning of the year is turning into a very hectic time, almost as hectic as WrestleMania season. You know, promotion wants to start the year off strong. You had, you know, your typical Tokyo Dome New Japan show on January 4th. That's been extended to two, now three nights, and, you know, 5 hours each. You had WWE now jumping into this bandwagon, having WWE Day 1 on January 1st. And then TV-wise, you had NXT with their New Year's Evil special. You had AEW with their TV New Year's Bash special. You had their Battle of the Belts with AEW just last night. There was just so much. And we're just talking the big players, right? Then you had GCW with some major shows to start the year. You had Noah in Japan to start the year. You had Stardom, their women in Japan to start the year. Just so much wrestling to start the year. And I absolutely loved it. And I just hook it up to my veins.
I don't know how you're not prioritizing at some point, though, because for me, and again, I love it, but I'm having to pick and choose now, and I'm waiting in some cases for moments to go back and look for rather than sitting there for that long. And again, can't get enough of it. At the same time, maybe I can. There is such a thing as too much birthday. And there's sometimes where, you know what, I think this is a chance for all the shows to really rise to the top and give their best. At the same time, a lot of guys and girls are getting injured. And we saw a rash of that this past week. And if it's not injuries, it's COVID or other medical issues. That's what kept Cody out of the main event, which was supposed to be happening for Battle of the Belts on Saturday night. Now we have an interim champion for the TNT title, where Sammy Guevara is your interim champion after beating Dustin Rhodes in a match, which we already talked about in a special bonus aftercast, which you can go back and listen to. But how do you feel about the interim champions in pro wrestling?
So, you know, we touched on this a bit last night on our aftercast, but we'll touch on it again. And that's, you know, I agree with you 100% with what you said last night, and that is it gives wrestling and AEW that real sports feeling. 3 years ago when they came out and they started the promotion, one of the main points that they wanted to make was they wanted this to feel like real sports. And having an interim champ due to injury, due to a medical reason, just makes it feel like a legit sport, you know, makes it feel like UFC. How many times in UFC did we have interim champions come in and out? So to me, it makes sense how they chose Dustin to fight Sammy. You know, leaves a lot to be desired, but the match was great. The right person won in the grand scheme of things, I think, to set up the eventual unification match with Cody.
Well, and that's just it. The interim feeling is there. At the same time, the argument can be made if the champion can't defend, the champion can't defend. So you strip them of the title, no matter what the reason. That has kind of been the pro wrestling trope for the longest time, is that, you know, unable to compete, that means we're going to crown a new champion, period. So for them to bring in this sporting angle into pro wrestling does seem kind of interesting. I wonder if it's going to start a trend, if it's going to follow through to WWE or other companies where they do continue with this interim championship scenario. Either way, makes for an interesting rubber match. You know, this will be the best of three now, I guess, between Cody and Sammy when we get down to that road. Other titles changing hands or being crowned. Jade Cargill, the first ever TBS champion. That happened on Dynamite's debut on TBS. Was this the right move in your opinion?
Oh man, that is the million-dollar question. To be honest, like, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. In the grand scheme of things, yes, this is the right person to get the belt. You know, they've been building her up since day zero. She's had the Rocket strapped to her back since she debuted. You know, and she was always coming and touting that she was, you know, it was her show. She is the one. She is the next big thing in women's wrestling. So it makes sense that she won, you know. But when you take a look at her accolades, her past, how green and how much of a rookie she is, you know, that you can question a few things, you know. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it was the right person storyline-wise to give this belt to. You're building up a star. You now have a star, possible mega star. If she can improve a little bit more on the ring, then I think it was more than the right call.
And you already have stars. You already have people that could be mega stars on that roster. You have people that, frankly, can work better than she can. Is this just a heat magnet, you think? Or is this a legitimate effort to make her an established performer in AEW?
I think it's both, right? Like, AEW tends to cater to the hardcore fan, and they have their ears to the drum. They have their, you know, they know what us of the worlds are talking about, right? The people who listen to these types of shows, they know exactly how we feel about Jade Cargill. So from that point of view, yes, you know, they know that a lot of people didn't want her to get this belt because of her inexperience. So this was seen as a heat magnet. But at the same time, I truly do feel like they are trying to create a new star in her. Yeah, they have stars, but you can never have enough.
Last but not least, Boris here. You're the guy that is in the forums. You're the guy that's all over the SNME radio social media. You're monitoring, you're seeing, you're engaging with everyone. What has been, in your opinion, since January 1, since day one, if you would, up until now, January the 9th, in 9 days, what has been the hottest conversation among the SNME radio family?
I would have to say it comes down to the NXT releases earlier this week. You know, new year, fresh start, happiness, positivity. And then within days, WWE reminds us that it is a revolving door, that they are thinning the roster, both in the office, the gym, and the roster. And here we are, more releases to just start the year. And they were quite big names, people who just shocked us. William Regal comes to mind. Who would have ever thought that he, of all people, would be released? I would also have to put Road Dogg and his relationship with Triple H. Who would have thought that he'd be released, right? It just goes to show you that anything is possible. Never say never. You just don't know. And I think that was the number one story on the SNME socials this week.
Definitely a lot of chatter from that. That was Dave Meltzer's top lead, of course. And that's something where we're going to keep our eye on, I guess, going into the new year. We thought maybe the culling had stopped for the time being, but the new motto of WWE corporate seems to be how low can you go when it comes to personnel, which sadly seems to be the case of a lot of corporations these days. But same time, business is business, and it's a business we still watch and love, and that is the basis of Sunday night's main event. I'm Mike McGuire. Boris Aguilar has been joining me from the SNME Radio Network, which, again, if you want to join our Patreon, patreon.com/SNME Radio, less than a buck a show, Boris. How do we do this?
I still don't know, but we do it. We do it every week. And as Jason Agnew always said, we watch wrestling so you don't have to.
Well, you know what? We're going to keep watching wrestling. We hope you do as well. And we hope you're here to talk about it again. Get on our forums. Send your feedback. We're going to be opening up the show a little bit here in the future as well. So get ready to be a part of the show in more ways than one. But Boris, I want to thank you for joining me for my initial sit down in the big chair here, fitting into Jason Agnew's butt grooves as best I can for this week. We'll do it all again next week right here on TSN Radio, the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and of course, SNMEradio.com. Until next time, thank you for listening and letting us do what we do. Until next time, play safe, drive safe. Bye. See ya.
Submit your feedback to Sunday night's main event by joining the group on Facebook. Search SNME Radio. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNME Radio.